Imagine for a moment you hear an instruction from someone, and the instruction says, you're in big trouble. And when you hear that, your first thought is, what kind of trouble am I in? And Jesus realizes that for some of those who've been listening, they really have not been making any application of what he's trying to get across. And as a result of that, he brings them to a very key word when he uses the word, woe. Because what he's getting across is, you had a chance to hear what it is I wanted to say to you. You missed what I was trying to say to you. And as a result of that, you end up missing experiencing what God intended for your life. And it's interesting because in Matthew chapter 11, we come to a place where Jesus has one clear focus. And that is learning how to surrender all you have to him. And your first thought is, well, that shouldn't be a big challenge. I just turn myself over to him and I end up experiencing who he is. But in Matthew chapter 11, what happens is, and you'll notice, if you would, in verse 20, then he began to denounce the cities in which most of his miracles were done because they did not repent. So here's what happened. Jesus realizes he's been doing all kinds of things that should have convinced anyone who had any clue at all about life that this is the experience you need to have life the way I intended for you. But as a result, in the places where he'd done all these miracles, instead of them reacting and saying, you know, that's exactly who I want to be, I want to follow Jesus, instead, they reacted in an opposite way. They missed the best of what God intended for them. And that's why you see him saying in verse 21, woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the miracles had occurred in Tyre and Sidon, which occurred in you, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Nevertheless, I say to you, it would be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will not be exalted to heaven, will you? You will descend to Hades, for if the miracles had occurred in Sodom, which occurred in you, it would have been remained to this day. Nevertheless, I say to you that it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. Now, I want you to get this in mind. Here, Jesus basically lays out, if you think that life is based on your terms, then you're missing what it is that I want to get across to you. And what I want to say to you is that what you have to do is look inside your own heart and realize that without a repentant heart, you can't experience what it is that God intended for you. And so as a result of that, Jesus says to them, woe. In other words, he says to them, you're in bigger trouble than you've ever calculated. And as a result of that, you're going to have to pay a higher price than you ever calculated. Which, by the way, if you compare it to Sodom and Gomorrah, and you look worse than that, that pretty much says something very distinctive about you. Right? Because what it says is, you completely missed the best of what life has for you. And as a result of that, Jesus obviously makes a very strong statement towards all of them. But then what should happen? In verse 25, at that time, Jesus starts praying. So you can imagine, he said, whoa, 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 you're in big trouble. You're going to miss this. You're not going to experience this. Then he stops and he says, I got to pray. And notice what he said. I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this way was well-pleasing in your sight. So what he does there is he starts talking about, hey, guess what? This is all about God's plan. And all of God's plan is linked to their obedience. And so he uses two phrases, wise and intelligent, and then he uses this other phrase that is very, very unique in that he talked about, revealed them to infant. So what is he getting at? Watch this. Though those who were proud walked around boasting of their intelligence. An example of that is Stephen Hawking, who died this week. Brilliant in science, but entered into eternity thinking that Jesus was a fantasy. Didn't even listen to an intern who was a part of his studies, who said to him every day, Jesus is the answer, who conveyed to him there was hope there. And what happens is, if you get in your mind your criteria versus God, you walk around feeling like you're wise and intelligent. The truth of the matter is, watch this carefully. The one who created you, the one who knows you, is far greater, far wiser, and perfect in every way compared to who we are. But then he said, the proud, the people who feel like they're sufficient in themselves, self-sufficient in themselves, they miss it completely. The ones who are the babes, who are they? They're the ones who are humble, who are willing to listen, who are willing to learn. And it's interesting because what he deals with is the contrast between being self-sufficient and totally dependent. Self-sufficient, totally dependent. And as you think about that, you begin to ask yourself the question, how do you handle your challenges in life? Because what Jesus does here is he brings them to a thought that the reason people get weary, the reason people get heavy laden, the reason people need rest, is they need somebody to tell them the answer. They need to know what the answer is. And what Jesus has said to them, I've been trying to tell you over and over and over again, this is the answer. This is what matters in life. If you act on this, you get to experience life the way that I intended for you. But if you don't do it, then you're going to walk around going, you know, I got this all figured out. I have the answer to everything. I'm wise. I'm intelligent. I'm gifted. I'm skilled. I'm independent. And what Jesus is trying to get across was, we all need somebody to carry us where he wants us to go, to take us along the path that is his pathway. And it's interesting because what Jesus gets at here is this whole idea of surrender. That's why in verse 25, when he makes it very clear that the Father has given him the hidden things. He's given him the ability to be able to work through all things. And verse 26 says, for the Father says, for this way was well-pleasing in your sight, all things. Excuse me. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. So what Jesus says is, this is all a part of God's great plan. He gives me the authority to operate inside of each one of your lives. I'm the answer to everything you'll ever face. But then it stopped there. Look, if you would, verse 28. Notice what he said. Here's where you come to a verse that you've heard quoted and you've encountered at different times in your life. Come to me. Note that phrase. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now let's think about this for a moment. Because Jesus uses very powerful words. Four of them that I want you to note. The first one is being weary. Interesting that he uses this word, because what he's trying to bring to light is what happens when you bear a burden that's so exhausting that it takes you to the point of sheer exhaustion, and you're trying to do it in your own strength. And what Jesus was saying was, you have tried to do this all your way, and it doesn't work that way. Your math doesn't work. You can't get where you're supposed to go, and you get more weary. But then he says, you're heavy laden. And what he's getting across here, when you get overwhelmed by what it is you're trying to bear, and then all of a sudden someone puts a bigger load on you, and they put that big load on you while you're already weary. Excuse me. So what happens to you? You end up having such a difficult time carrying that load because you're trying to do it on your own. And what Jesus is trying to get across was, hey, listen to me, come to me. You'll come to me as you work through these difficult moments. I'll take all that off of you. And it's interesting because when you're weary, isn't it interesting that the Bible says, don't be weary in well-doing, for in due time you'll reap? What he's trying to get across is, you got to be careful not to try to do it on your own terms. Then he uses two other really key words. Look at him, if you would. He uses the word rest. He uses the word rest. And then he uses the word learn. Okay? And so when you look at those two words, the first one, to be refreshed. And notice what he says here. You will be refreshed in this rest that you get. And what is this rest all about? This rest is about us coming to the place where all of a sudden we're refreshed by his presence. And it comes through our repentance, through our relationship. In other words, what happens to me is all of a sudden I'm in your presence and something happens to me that's powerful. I'll give you an example that oftentimes when you encounter someone who, when you're near them, they bless you. They bless you and their presence encourages you. It does something inside of you. What Jesus was trying to say was, I'm going to give you the kind of rest that's going to refresh you beyond words. Don't you love being around somebody who refreshes you, who encourages you, who speaks into your heart, who gives you strength? What Jesus was saying was, I'm going to give you the kind of rest you dream of. You're going to have that kind of rest. This morning, 4 a.m., wide awake. Time changed different. A lot of hours different. And I was laying in that bed, and honestly, my wife was having perfect rest. I mean, she was completely resting. She was completely out. I wanted to wake her up and say, hey, how you been doing? But I knew that might not be a good note to say to her. And so, as a result, I laid there for a little while, and then I just started praying over different things. One of the things I prayed about was how much I love our church and how much I want God to work in and through each one of us. And how encouraged I am when I see God using us in different ways to accomplish His purpose. And as when I finished that time, I said, Lord, if you'd like me to rest again, I entrust it to you. Went to sleep like that. Which, by the way, normally doesn't happen. Normally doesn't happen like that. And so I went to sleep and woke up at 6, refreshed, ready to go, rested by God. And I want to tell you, encourage you to think about this. What happens if you get His rest? Something happens inside of you. But He doesn't stop there. He said, not only are you going to rest, you're going to learn. You're going to learn from me. And you think about learning. Learning demands application. Learning demands submission. You've got to be willing to submit to the teacher. You've got to be able to learn from them. And as a result, he talked about this whole idea of learning. And it has to do with making the choice to surrender and become a disciple. Because the word disciple is a learner. So let's get this context in light of everything we've been looking at. In Matthew 6:33, Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God, and what happened? He will, and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. What are some of the things He wants to give you? He wants to give you rest. He wants to help you learn. And so what is He trying to do in Matthew chapter 11? Remember now, He's pushing everybody towards the kingdom of God, away from their own kingdom. And the religious people don't like it. So He starts pushing them further away and away from their religion towards a life-changing faith. And so He makes it clear there's this path you have to get on. And you walk on this path, and it opens a door for you to experience what God intended. Which leads me to, I wanted to do something I haven't done before. I wanted to snapshot some moments to capture your attention to people who got on the pathway of surrender. And it happened in a country far from here. Each one of their stories is different and unique. But I want you to listen attentively. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell you all these stories, and then I'm going to show you the four things that everybody has to do to get on the right path. So listen carefully. I promise you it'll bless you. And so picture number one is coming up now. And I'm going to look at them to make sure I give you the right story, or you'll be really confused, all right? So picture one on the pathway. This one's easy for you to figure out. You see the Russian guy on the left? That's our translator. That's Chesterino with his Russian hat on. And that's the rest of our team. I just wanted to show you that church sits out in a remote village. But every Sunday, whether it's a foot of snow or it's beautiful, it's filled with children and people who are looking for Jesus. And we've had an immense impact there in that particular village. Slide number two. This is a great picture because it captures the team that was there, with the exception of Chester. I don't know where he was. He must have been, he was taking a picture, yeah. All right, so in this picture, I wanted to point out to you that the man sitting in the front, diagnosed with lung cancer a year ago, and it's interesting because the doctors in Ukraine said, we will take that lung cancer out. But he went to see a specialist, and the specialist said, if we take it out, we bury you the same day because of where the tumor's placed. And so he had gone through 6 weeks of radiation treatment, but if you look at him there, you never dreamed he'd ever been through anything that was that challenging, and he lives for the gospel to be spread. And it's interesting what he told me recently. He said, you know, I have 6 more villages that I want to introduce to Jesus. When I've introduced those 6 more villages, Jesus is coming back. I was, well, maybe he is, because you're alive still to make it happen. Slide, next slide. Great story here. 3 years ago, this is Christina. 3 years ago, her family situation was so bad that it had eaten up her colon and her stomach. Her nerves were trashed. Her body was overwhelmed. She could not function. Sadness grieved her, placed in an orphanage where she was forgotten and disowned. And for Christina, the pathway to surrender was harder because she couldn't understand the reality, if God loves you, why do I live in this? And as a result of that, she found herself in a very dark valley. She found herself having to have a colostomy in order to survive. And a year ago, when we were in Ukraine, we took her the one thing she needed most, and that was the colostomy bags that they need in order to function. If you're familiar with that, you realize their stomach and other things don't work. They use this to help take care of their body. And so those bags, you think those are minimal small things that don't have any consequence, except if you're a 14 or 15-year-old girl who is now looking for somebody to care. And so I carried those bags into her room, and she had been in isolation in a room at the orphanage for the last 6 months. And you can imagine for Christina, life was difficult. The idea of surrender was almost impossible. But in November of this year, this last year, Jesus knocked on her heart's door. Knocked on her heart's door, asked her to surrender all. Christina gave her heart to Jesus. She quit trying to operate on her own terms. In January, her body, the colostomy was taken out, her body began to function perfectly. All of her anger, all of her pain, all of her sorrow was gone. And she told me, you don't realize sometimes that just somebody coming from America who brings us what we need is so small, said something to her that Jesus loved her. And so she gave her heart to Jesus. In January, after having that surgery to have everything back working properly, in January, she found herself being, her mother signed the final document saying, I never want to see you again. I want nothing to do with you. And she looked at me and she said, on that day, I chose to forgive and not to be embittered. And as a result, 2 weeks later, a Christian family walked in the orphanage and said, she is the girl we want. And so for the first time in her life, she has home. But it all comes back to Jesus working and Christina surrendering all. Next slide. You can't really see this picture very well. This is Victoria. I want to tell you a real quick snapshot because this is a picture of surrender too. Victoria was born with a skin defect. If you look closely at the picture, her skin sheds every day. Her whole body. And so she's in immense pain. She lives 100 kilometers from where we were at on this day. And it's interesting because for Victoria, she heard there was a challenge that had come from some American to memorize about 30 Bible verses, or more than 30 verses, in a span of less than 30 days. Victoria decided, I'm going to take that on. Born to a mother who was blind, a dad who was handicapped, her mother has never seen her, so does not realize how bad off she is, but every aspect of her skin is painful every day. And so all the children, when they looked at her, they realized that she was different. But after the time of memorization, by the way, she memorized all 40 verses in 30 days, quoted them perfectly without exception. But in the span of those hour and a half we were together, at the end of the service, I walked up to her and I said, Victoria, would you like me to hug you? No one had touched her for all that time. And this picture is her first hug. And what did she do? She surrendered all to God. If you'd seen her in Chester, others at Jam, they saw how afflicted she was. I'm going to tell you what can wash away all that skin? The love that comes from God through people who surrender all. Just a beautiful story of God's faithfulness. And she made 100 kilometers, even in pain, she made that trip. Which, by the way, there was one teenage girl who paid attention to her while we were doing all the Bible verses. And it's amazing to watch that. That girl is going to be blessed by your pastor in the days to come. Next picture. This is a great story. Her name is Anna. Anna was born and lived in Russia and Ukraine, lived all during communism. She's 83 years old. 3 years ago, she gave her heart to Christ. And she's holding her Bible that she reads every day. And she lives in a nursing home. She has no living relatives. But it didn't put her in a place where she wasn't willing to surrender. She surrendered all and she gave her heart to Christ. And she was one of the greatest blessings to watch as I watched the joy of her heart and life. She read God's word. She said, now I want to show you all my Christian magazine. And she had all these magazines that she was reading. Why am I saying all these stories? I want you to see something. What we're about surrender. We're about taking the gospel into people's lives. What Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. 80 years, sorrow, difficulty, heartache, no family, rejection, pain. What did she get? Jesus. And I'm telling you, Jesus was enough to change her life forever. Amen? Next slide. This is one of my favorite pictures. The church in Raya in Ukraine that ministers to between 50 and 60 disabled children. And what's unique about all these children, they all had the same medical diagnosis, abortion. When they went to the doctor said, take the baby out of your body. It's going to be a problem to you. But all the parents made the same choice. We're going to love that child forever. And this child, you see a smile on his face. His mother, I've met for the last 2 years. His mother was driving by the church a few years ago. And she's driving by and said, "What? Wonder what that thing's about. Nothing of significance would be happening there. That's just a church." But now, she loves Jesus. Now she's actively involved in the church, and her little son has a place to call home. Great story. Next picture. This is a great story. This is a day center. All these kids are at-risk kids. They live on the street, or they live in very, very adverse, difficult circumstances, and as a result, they don't know which way to turn. But in this service, there were 27 kids there. 14 of them gave their heart to Christ in this service. Is that not a point of celebration? Let's thank the Lord for that great work. More pain, more stories than I could ever tell you. The bottom line is, doesn't matter how difficult your road, if you turn towards Him, He changes everything. Next slide. This is Maria. The first time I met her, she was blind. And last year she had surgery, and she's able to see. And she has no family, although I just heard this week that a grandson who lives in Russia found out she's still alive, and the grandson came home, came to a nursing home to see her. What's sweet about her is she's one of the most loving people I've ever met. You probably heard me tell the story. When I see her, when she's blind, she would take my hand and kiss my hand over and over again and say, "Placebo, placebo, placebo. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you." Amazing story of God's grace reaching down into her life, changing her forever. Which tells you the gospel's there for every age, for every person. Children, adults, teenagers, everyone. Next picture. Just about done. This is a great story. This is Marta and Victor. Victor was abandoned by his family, lived on the street. One day met the youth pastor at the local church there and said, I need hope, I need something. Turned his heart over to Christ. Martha's mother died. She was in despair, didn't know which way to turn. Showed up at the church as well. They get married next weekend. And they both have given their hearts to Christ. But it's a great story because this is a story of how God works. And what I want you to think about today, the reason I'm showing these pictures, one of these is going to capture your heart. Not about necessarily going on some trip, but that's not the issue. This is about the power of surrender, what God can do. One more picture. These are all the children, 43 of them, who memorized 40 verses in 30 days. All of these kids come from alcoholic homes, broken home, destitute home, drug-infested home. They live in all that every day. But they come, and if you'd watch them quote their verses, it's one of the most beautiful experiences I've ever had in my life because these children fell in love with God. So these are just a snapshot. So let's go back to Matthew chapter 11. Let's get in the middle of that. Because in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are heavy laden and weary, and I'll give you rest. First thing he says is, come to me. Watch, listen carefully because I'm gonna fly through this. I wanted to take this picture journey with you on purpose because I want you to see something. What we do is always about people. Whether it's Honduras, whether it's Atlanta, Georgia, wherever it is, God's at work. Whether it's Ukraine, it's about God at work and people learning how to surrender. So Jesus says in this verse, if you'll notice, it's verse 28, come to me. And why is he saying that? Because he wants them to get their perspective right about who they turn to. They don't turn to religion because in verses 25 through 27, what has he done? He eliminated religion as being a real good source of getting anything. In fact, in verses 25 through 27, Jesus makes it clear that he is the only pathway to purpose in life. Without Jesus, you're not going to get where he intends for you to go. So he's the pathway you get on. You get on his path, you go, wow, I want to experience what God has for me. And you start walking on that path. And that pathway takes you right to where God wants you to be. What's key to that? What's key to that is that you realize that here, Jesus is entrusted with something. He's entrusted by the Father to bring everyone to faith in him. He's entrusted to make sure that they don't misunderstand what God wants to do, how he wants to work in each one of them. And so keep this in mind. This is what Jesus wants for each one of us. that if we surrender, we get on this pathway. And as we get on this path, all of a sudden we begin to recognize Jesus is the key. Which, by the way, he's the key to everything. Everything you'll ever face in life. The second thing you see is that you'll notice, if you would, verse 28. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. Come to me. Now, why does Jesus do this? Because he wants us to learn to come as we are. Not based in religious terms that we can never measure up to, but come to him so that we see who we are and we see who he is. And when Jesus makes this statement, come to me, what he's trying to get across is, don't spend your life anchoring yourself in something you can't do the math on. Don't sit around and go, man, if I can just get a little bit more religion, I'm going to figure this deal out. No, you're not. You're going to be more confused, more challenged, more overwhelmed. So what Jesus says, just come to me and watch what happens. I'll take away all your burden. I'll take away everything that's on top of you. So what is it? What does surrender demand? If we want a pathway to surrender, it demands that we release ourselves out of all and set aside all religion and take that religion away and take away our personal preferences. In other words, we instead don't get caught up in what doesn't matter. We zero in on what does matter. And what does matter is we come to him. That's why you see the power of what happened when we pray in Jesus' name, what he wants to do in us. He says, come to me. And it'd be just like me sitting here in church today and looking at someone and say, Susan, come here. When Susan says, I don't want to come right now because I'm busy. And plus, I have three more laws I want to accomplish before I come to you. And the reality is, what does Jesus say? Submit to me, surrender to me, and watch me work in your life. I'll do something amazing. Okay, so the first thing is you recognize that Jesus is the answer to all of it. The second thing is you learn to come to him. In other words, and what you discover is the distinctiveness of the voice of God speaking to you, it's never confusing and it's always very crystal clear. When God speaks to you, he speaks to you in very, very definitive terms. And what he says here is set aside all your personal preferences. Don't get caught up in what you prefer. Get caught up in what he demands. And what he demands of you is to submit yourself to him. Third thing I want you to see. Remember now, we're on a pathway of surrender. First thing we see is that Jesus, he's walking through all this with us. He's the one who opens that door of opportunity to us. The second thing is we learn how to come to him. In other words, we say, Lord, I'm going to come to you because I know you can work through this. The third thing we see is very unique and powerful. Look, if you would, verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. What is he doing here? He says, you're going to get all this, but only if you align your heart so you can find the true peace that comes in Christ. In other words, what he's saying is, line it up. Line it up and watch what transpires. And it was very interesting, while we were in Ukraine doing the Bible verses with these 43 kids, one of the things we want to do is bless these children because they'd worked hard, they'd memorized verses. So we tried to line them up to, when we did the scripture verses, they were lined up perfectly. But when it came to their blessing, they were all over the place. And they surrounded whoever was giving things away, whether it was fruit and candy or whether it was something else. And one of my pastor friends who was with me, Pastor Tim, he said, man, we need to have a line. We need to line these people up. And I was thinking, that ain't happening. I mean, these kids are in their own line because they want to get what's theirs quick as possible. And I'm going to tell you, that's exactly what happens in our lives. Jesus says, line up. What do we say? I'm going to go get what I want right now. I'm going to get it on my terms and my way. And when Jesus said, you know what? You got to take my yoke on you. What was the yoke all about? A yoke was all about constricting something in order to accomplish something bigger. In other words, it was put on oxen in order for them to be able to plow through and accomplish something in a field. And what Jesus says is, hey, guess what? My yoke is easy. My yoke is easy. And it's interesting what he's trying to get across here, because he's talking about what refreshes us. And our refreshment always comes in his sufficiency. In other words, when we know he is with us, he does something inside of us that is powerful. And it's very interesting. We were in a youth service on Friday night at a church, and amazing group of teenagers. They are sweet and kind, just like our kiddos, great kids. And they were asking us different questions and different things that, by way of what perspective we had on different issues. So when it was all over, I said, I want to ask you all a question. I want to know, what do you like about us coming to you? And it's interesting because I thought, this is going to be a very interesting answer. The girl raised her hand. She said, we love you. And that was the full answer. And when I heard it, I thought, you know, sometimes we complicate things. It's His sufficiency. It's our surrender. It's Christ in us who makes things gentle. And I love the fact that Jesus makes it clear here, I'm gentle and humble in heart. So what was He trying to get across? You can't be proud and come to me. You got to be humble. You got to humble yourself. And the gentleness of Jesus will speak to your heart and speak to your life. A fourth and final thing I want you to see. I want you to think about this as you've lived your week this week. Because if you can come to Him and you can surrender everything to Him, I'm telling you, you have a much better chance at having a great week because He's in charge of everything. Look on if you would, though, because He does one other thing. Verse 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, as you well know, burdens are not easy. But sometimes we have big burdens we bear. And all the pictures I showed you were pictures of people who were bearing big burdens. Big burdens that they were facing. And yet, their burdens were being addressed by God. And what happens here is Jesus makes it very clear that when you come to me, you're going to find rest for your soul. Because what's going to happen? I'm going to show you my yoke is easy. It rests on you by grace. And that graceful yoke that's on you opens you up to experience life the way He intended. So what is He saying here? Submission comes from taking His yoke on us so that we can learn. In other words, we just say, Lord, I want Your yoke on me. And I want that yoke to be a blessing to me. And I want it to be something that guides me forward. And what happens is all of a sudden you go, wait a minute now, I don't have to do this on my terms. I can do it on God's terms. And God's terms make it clear. I submit. What is submission about? Submission is about recognition of authority. And what Jesus was saying was, you all walk around thinking you have authority. You have none. I have authority of all heaven. And what you do is you miss it, and you don't find rest for your souls. You do it on your own terms. And I want you to think about this today. If you're sitting in church today, when was the last time you resolved not to do it on your terms, but God's terms? To find the answer from Him. Because what He does here, He makes it very clear. When you start submitting, in fact, think about this. As we submit to Him, we experience the gentleness, we experience the humility of Jesus. When we submit to Him, He becomes everything inside of us. And I'm going to tell you what I love. I love whether it's encountering somebody in the lobby of this church or encountering somebody in the lobby of a church thousands of miles away. When somebody submits to Jesus, you know it. You see it, you experience it, you feel it. And when you think about that, you'd ask yourself this question. Who would want to miss the blessing of the heart? Who'd want to miss what it is that God has for you? Because if you miss it, what happened? You still get caught up. And it's interesting because when you get in chapter 12, Jesus comes stronger towards what they're thinking and begins to challenge them in an even greater way. So my question to you is simply this. When it comes to who you are, will you surrender? Because if you'll surrender, He'll do something amazing inside of you. It's all about surrender. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for the blessed day we've had today. Thank You for the moment to snapshot into the hearts and lives of people that will never have anything as far as earthly possessions. But in their heart, they have something that's priceless because they surrender to Jesus. And whether it's a child growing up in a broken home that is overwhelmed by drugs and alcohol, rejection and pain, and then all of a sudden, Jesus, You become everything. Their nothing becomes everything in a moment of transformation. Lord, I ask You today that You would help us see that it's not about surrendering something, it's about surrendering everything. Speak to hearts and lives. There's someone here who's on the pathway of discovery and wants to discover what it is You have for their life. May they surrender and experience who You are. For we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.